Welcome to the downstairs.
We're here. And I'm glad to see you guys. Oh man, it's always so good to see you.
Okay,
you
know, so
you are my only friends.
Friends.
I do have other friends, but you guys are the best ones.
I appreciate that.
No problem.
Always happy to hear that my existence is quality.
It is. It really is.
Your quality is existence.
My quality exists.
If one quality were to represent you fully, it would be existence. The best way to preface this is I watched a movie this week with Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig, if you know who she is, in a Lifetime movie playing very serious roles where they adopt a child or try to, and then they find out that the mother's actually falling on hard times, so they take her into the house. Will Ferrell is a writer, an alcoholic writer. He is an incredible actor actually in this movie. He does a great job, but everything he's doing, you assume it's like satire or something, like you're waiting for like the punchline. It just never comes. Like he's like rescuing people, he's riding a boat through a fucking river at full speed.
When you say waiting for a punchline, is this because of how the movie is structured, or is this your internal bias about watching Will Ferrell in anything?
Have you seen a Lifetime movie before, like recently?
I have.
Oh, you know, like the telenovela kind of look where it's like 60 frames a second. It's that horribly weird camera angles and like sound design. And then Will Ferrell, like, deadpan playing like an accomplished financial writer who writes about budgeting and stuff, but you know they lost a child because he forgot to repair his dock at home and Kristen Wiig fell off the dock, so he blames himself but also her because she was like trying to entice him to come to the river and he was like, you shouldn't be over there, you're pregnant, and then she fell. So it's like very serious but also very campy kind of vibes, you know, like this whole premise is fucking ludicrous.
Gotcha.
Anyway.
Every time. I do that every single time. There's episodes where he said ludicrous and I've done that. And it's in there.
I use that word a lot. But no, so you know, they're dealing with the death of the child, it turns out. They're going to adopt. This woman is on hard times. She describes living at the shelter in their first meeting with her, and she's basically like, you know, like, I don't have much to eat, but I think the baby will be fine. You know, like doing that, you can tell, like, ooh, she's
trying to weasel away.
Yeah, something's up here. He's like, you know, you can come live with us. You can come live with us. And the woman, she owns a fruit stand in town that she works nonstop at. She's just a real worker, that
tireless
lady.
Tireless fruit stand lady.
She's about to open up two more fruit stands in other neighboring cities.
Oh, shit. Enterprising.
Big business. The fruit cups in this neighborhood.
She's so killing it.
He stays at home writing all day, you know, writing, trying to get pages to his editor. And she's running a fruit stand. And the pregnant woman is at home with their other daughter and Will Ferrell. So the coworker, the best friend of the woman, is like this longtime friend of the family. He's like a younger man.
Fruit stand attendant?
Yeah, he's okay. the fruit stand worker with her. He doesn't trust the lady, of course, because he's the best friend and that's what they always do. He doesn't trust the lady. So he starts saying, don't you worry, she's at home with your husband, like, aren't you worried, you know? And Kristen Wiig's like, no, I trust my husband. Like, they would never, you know. And then
hard cut.
Yeah, next thing. She is about to shower. And she, like, starts getting naked and steamy.
Is she pregnant at
this
time?
Takes off a fake pregnancy belly.
Oh.
It's fake. She was never pregnant. Boom. Reveal. The daughter comes in to the shower. Sees her without the pregnancy belly.
How old is the daughter?
Like 8 to 10.
Oh.
Now,
okay.
The daughter is severely diabetic. You need to know that because she sees the woman with no belly. So the lady with no belly is like, oh, it's fine. Some women get big. I don't. Weird explanation.
But it's a kid.
But it's a kid, right? So you're thinking like, okay, maybe this is... No, she fucking kidnaps the kid, drives off, takes off. But the fruit stand guy is getting his morning coffee in the city. And he sees her get into a truck with a man. And he knows something's up.
So he follows her.
No. So he goes and tells Kristen Wiig something's up. And then it comes out. She told Will Ferrell, I'm taking your daughter to the park. Your wife said it was okay. She told the wife, I'm taking your daughter to the park. Your husband said it was okay. Takes the kid, right? Revealed. Big plan. Her and the guy are trying to fleece this family for money by kidnapping the kid. Crazy. Then, Will Ferrell, after you reveal all this, with the argument between the man and the woman who tried to steal the child and now have the child, mm-hmm. but the child's having a diabetic reaction on the bed in the hotel, so they're freaking out, like, she might die, we need to get the money, we need to get out, you know. Then Will Ferrell walks into her room, the lady who's staying with them, pregnant lady who's not pregnant, and he finds an autographed book that he signed to another woman, which was her actual identity. She's secretly a woman he hooked up with on tour after the death of the child. So now he's looking for her. He's blaming himself. She comes back.
I'm wrapped.
So, bro, so she kills the friend because the friend does follow
truck
later when he sees. Guy. Well, she doesn't. Okay, so he sees the guy in the truck, but not the woman, you know. But he follows it, calls the police, calls Kristen, but he doesn't have signal, so he's following it. The guy kills the friend, but not until after the big, like, you know, evil plan reveal where they're, like, standing around and, like, I'm in this, you can't do anything to stop us, you know. So the guy's dead, best friend, dead. Kristen Wiig now knows that the truck is up in the mountains, and that's all she heard, right? But, like, doesn't know exactly where. Will Ferrell now is hiding the fact that he had an affair with this woman, and he believes that's what caused all this.
Mm-hmm.
That basically he feels at fault. She's so the cops come over. Will Ferrell doesn't tell him. He hides the info. He says, I don't know why she would want to do this. Then the cops the cops can't find any information because they don't know why she would want to do this. So finally, you know, he has to reveal that he knows why she would want to do this. He tells the cops. So now they know who she is and who the guy is. He's got a criminal record and stuff. This is the whole thing. Now, she needs to get money because the kid's about to die. So they give the kid candy bars, but that's actually the wrong thing to do. It's the opposite of the problem she has.
Mm-hmm.
So the kid's dying even faster now. She needs to get money. So she says, I'm going in to get the money. I'm taking the girl with me, right? So she takes the girl. Then, the guy who's back at the cabin in the woods, who was her accomplice,
mm-hmm.
is like, you're not going to keep the girl, are you? Like, foreshadowing. Then she's like, no, I just want the money. Goes back, sees Kristen Wiig in their house. Like, she's in the house. She sees Kristen Wiig. They fight. She's got a gun, but she doesn't. Kristen Wiig karate chops the gun out of her hand.
Mm-hmm.
Will Ferrell looks like Chuck Norris in this movie. That's another thing you need to imagine. He has the whole beard. Full beard, yeah. So, okay, so she karate chops the gun out of hand. They wrestle a little bit, knocks her out, and puts her in the car and turns the car on with the garage door closed. So it's like a slow fuse to sudden death. Boom. Goes in the house. Will Ferrell's there. He's all like,
I know why you're doing this.
I know why you're doing this. She fucking, boom, shoots him, wings him right in the shoulder. Oh, he tries to go at her. They fucking wrestle. She shoots him. She's like, please run away with me. We can run away. I killed your wife. Now you can be mine, you know? He's like, I don't like you. She shoots him. He's dead on the floor. Passed out. Fully dead, you think, right? So, he got shot twice. So then the woman takes the girl, the little girl, and she's like, I'm going to be your new mommy. Your dad is dead. I'm sorry. Now let's go. The accomplice is like, whoa, where's the money? She shoots him. The cops show up after she leaves with the girl, and he's like, she shot me, and they arrest him. So now the cops know everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
He confessed everything.
Is there an enterprising detective involved?
Or? No, that was the best friend. That role was the best friend.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, he was the one following them and, like, snooping. And that's the thing, right? So Will Ferrell's dead. Kristen Wiig's dead. The daughter's having a diabetic attack. So
the whole town.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
She's repeatedly saying she's very sick. So you know it's serious. Mm. And then the woman is driving away. And
she didn't. How did he fix the girl?
Will Ferrell
shot anybody?
Music starts. You know, triumphant. Google fucking climax of the movie music. Will Ferrell gets up. Dead. Gets up.
Oh.
Lugs himself into the garage. Closes the door behind him. Pulls Kristen Wiig out of the car and then walks back in the house with Kristen Wiig. She's alive now.
Yeah. Oh, that's what
he says. Listen, there's only one way out of this town. The bridge. They're going to the bridge. She says, "No, you can't make it. Don't go." Next scene, hard cut. He's on a boat. With the beard, the Chuck Norris beard, through the fucking river, dude. Just full speed, just sending it, dude.
Bro. Thank God he repaired that dock. This time it'll be different.
He fucking makes it to the bridge before her somehow. They fucking meet on the bridge. He stands in the road.
Right?
She's driving. The girl, the little girl's like, "Daddy!"
Yeah.
The lady's like, "What the fuck? I shot him twice. What the fuck?" She's going to hit him. She's just going to hit him. She's not going to stop. Will Ferrell's thinking like, "She loves me. She's going to stop." She doesn't want to stop. The little girl jerks the steering wheel. Truck crashes on the bridge, but not that bad. Just a little.
Oh, okay.
Then,
in my mind, I'm thinking this bitch is flipping off of the bridge until he said that. And it's like
several times and then off
now,
the side.
Another important factor I may have left out is that Will Ferrell is, because of his recent transgressions and like previous mistakes, very, very protective of the little girl. He won't let her ride a bike without training wheels. That's your first clue that he's like this. He doesn't trust her to not eat candy bars, so they have to like lock him up. And that's their second clue he's like this. Now, this comes back around because now the vehicle is crashed and the little girl gets out and runs to Will Ferrell, but the kidnapper lady, she's a little slower, so the little girl makes it, you know, boom, makes it over to Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell's holding her, but the lady's got a gun, right? And she's like, "I'll shoot you right now, and that's my girl now. I'll take her, you know." And then Will Ferrell's like, "I trust you, baby. Like, I trust you." And then she runs and jumps off the bridge into the water below. Will Ferrell runs after her, jumps off the bridge. The lady's got a gun. She doesn't shoot anyone. They jump off the bridge. They're in the boat.
They made it to the boat. Oh yeah.
Boat's not starting. She's aiming the gun. Boom. Hard cut. Will Ferrell. Slow motion. Bang. Gunshot. You're thinking, "Oh no. Oh no." Boom.
Kristen Wiig.
Shot the kidnapper lady.
Yeah.
She's dead now. She is dead.
Yeah.
Movie ends.
Go
home and they love each other, and the last shot is the daughter riding a bike with no training wheels.
You just described every Lifetime
movie. And the best part is there was not a single joke in this entire movie.
That's incredible.
Except the iconic image of when I say imagine Chuck Norris, like young Chuck Norris or young Will Ferrell is old Chuck Norris. They're the same they're the same person. And he's like riding a book to the Walker, riding a boat to the Walker, Texas music, like as he fucking goes to save his wife. So it's like, bro, I'm telling you, it's called Fatal Adoption.
You say young. Oh my God. I beg you. Wow, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
On it.
Oh my God.
Okay, I accuse myself of bias because I look at Will Ferrell in that picture and all I can think of is, this is obviously a satire. This is obviously a comedy.
Like, I think it was just him seriously in this movie in real. Like, this movie was just going to get made, not as a satire, just as a real movie.
When did this movie come out?
2015.
Mm.
Yeah, him and Kristen Wiig did it as a joke. But it was a real movie. Like, it was really a Lifetime movie. This is how they are. They were just so fucking funny. And also, they're the only good actors. And it's so rough to say that about Will Ferrell in a movie, because he's not, like, known for that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you kind of know, like, Jim Carrey taught us all that, like, comedians can be serious actors if they so choose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He is a really good actor in the movie. Yeah, he's very convincing, bro. Like when he's talking about, like, the drink, you know, that he put down, almost brings a tear to your eye.
Wow.
And everyone else is the worst actors you've ever seen. It's a Lifetime movie. They're terrible.
Yeah.
The coffee shop fruit stand attendant guy, it's like, I'm glad he's dead. But, like, Will Ferrell's character is so goddamn good. And you're watching him fucking... I'm gonna look if I can see the boat scene.
I'm glad that you are here to watch these movies, because in no way, shape, or form would I ever be interested
Gun.
In... Wow, yeah.
About shoot him.
Yep. That, honestly, that looks like it's just a scene out of Walker, Texas Ranger.
It is great. Look, she falls off the dock, see? He didn't repair the dock. She fell off of it. Yeah, it's hilarious, but not supposed to be. Bro, it's great. It's really good. Like,
that's good. I'm glad you enjoyed yourself watching it. This is now, good.
Oh my god, this is the scene! I found it! The boat scene!
Oh, fuck.
It really... Oh god, it's so great!
No way,
that's bro. That he's like astounding. That's poster worthy.
Yeah, that is
wonderful, okay. Dude. Like now, okay. So I say all that to say, in a non-humorous way, I mean seriously, Will Ferrell was such a good actor that I was more engaged during this than Fast 9. This was better than The Pig. Like,
oh my god,
it was. Look, it was a crazy, unbelievable bullshit Lifetime story, but. When you got a good actor, I'm telling you, bro, I was watching like, he did not. He betrayed her.
I wonder how many I wonder how many Lifetime movies start with the word fatal.
Oh my god, dude.
Fatal attraction. Fatal
adoption.
Fatal divorce.
They just start going through the dictionary. Yeah. Like a fatal assassination.
Wait, what? You know what? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, fine, we'll go with it. Who's in this one? Can we get any A-listers?
Can we get anyone? No. What's Mario Lopez doing again?
Oh, Kristen Wiig and Will Ferrell in this movie were great. And the fact that they did it as a joke, but the movie was serious, mm-hmm. made it. Like, you were just waiting for someone, for some kind of...
Some levity
like,
at all.
Like, people refer to it as a satire, and I genuinely think it's just because Will Ferrell was good enough in the role that you were waiting for it to break. Like, you were waiting for, like...
Right.
But he just kept going. Oh, and the music, man, like, it was perfect. It was great. So I watched that movie.
That's good, man.
That's my movie review for the week.
Listen, that reminds me. I've been watching Dave. Have you started Dave? Anybody?
Nah.
Did you watch season 2?
Sadly, yes.
I'm working my way through season 2 and
oh, it's one of the worst drop-offs.
I am so pissed.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I'm so pissed because it's just Lil Dicky being a bitch the whole time.
Oh, the whole time. And then at the end, an album magically pops up that he was never working on. It's really frustrating. Very frustrating.
So I haven't got to the end, but the episode that I'm the most pissed at is the one I just stopped watching it on, and it's the one where he was going to date Doja Cat.
Oh, terrible. Yeah.
Oh,
terrible.
My God.
Terrible.
I was so upset.
This whole episode. I'll say, that's the problem is with Lil Dicky.
Mm-hmm.
When you try to describe the episodes, because of the team involved, like, they're good ideas, mm-hmm. you would think. But they're just done so badly. But, like, this whole episode was the text conversation before a date
right.
you end up not going on.
So no. Do you know who Doja Cat is? Mm-mm. I want you to see this woman, because she was featured heavily in this episode, obviously. They matched on a celebrity dating app.
Okay.
And you know, he was all happy because it's fucking Doja Cat.
Okay.
It's Doja Cat. Very beautiful woman. She looks great. Ass. She looks incredible. And in this episode, they made sure you knew that she looks great. Like, that's what this episode was about. It was like Doja Cat. They were really setting it up like Lil Dicky is gonna fucking date Doja Cat. It's crazy. So they're texting and like he's doing great. They're having a great conversation. You know what I mean? They're fucking texting back and forth. He accidentally like screenshots one of her pictures that she sent him and like said, "Bro, look at this." and sent it to her on accident, and then he like saved it. Bro, look at this. Our first, you know, picture you sent me. This is dope. You know, he saved it and shit, and she went with it. It was going well. And then he was
the whole time texts are popping up.
Yeah,
on
yeah.
The screen.
This is
like
what
you're reading.
This is it. He's like going out with his parents, and he's like not paying attention because he's texting Doja Cat. And like, so he's like, yeah, we should go out or whatever, and she agrees. And then he's like, so what about 7 o'clock? She never responds because she's fucking Doja Cat. She's at a photo shoot. She's doing shit. But he's like.
Also, in the real life that they're showing, she is trying to, like, get on the date. Like, she's, like, telling the photographer,
she's
like, can we hurry it
shit.
Up? Like, canceling
her events. Her manager's, like, texting her, like, what are you yeah. doing? Where are you? Like,
but yeah, but she never texts a little diggy back.
Right. So she's like, you know, trying to get done with all this shit so she can get home. She rushes home, and he's like, when he puts, like, question marks, I'm like, bro, chill. You're like, bro, chill. This is fucking Doja Cat. You can't. And then, like, once she goes home and she's, like, rushing to get ready for her date. She looks amazing. Just fucking beautiful. Doja Cat. And she's on her way out of the
Anti's
door.
Anti's face is nothing but pain as
she's,
you speak. But
she's on her way out of the door. And she finally checks her phone for that message of what, you know, like, what time or whatever. And there's just, like, a cavalcade of messages. Like, you have to respect people's time and all this shit. He's like texting her
just
angrily.
Like typical incel
yeah.
shit.
Hey, what are you doing? People have to work and you gotta, and it's just so annoying. And it's just, he ruined it. She gets mad and goes and gets undressed and shit. And like, she texts him back LOL, and that's all she said after all that. And he's like, oh, well, I guess I'll just text that girl I was texting before.
And then she cancels with the
He was in. And goes on a date with Lil Dicky instead. And so he could have had Doja Cat, but he gets this groupie bitch. I was so frustrated.
And she stood up a guy who's now at a restaurant sad because she chose Lil Dicky over him. I was watching this whole episode mad that there, every episode this season, there is no reason it needs to be a cameo. There's mm-hmm. They serve no function. They do nothing to advance any storylines. Every episode is self-contained.
It is
literally just an excuse to cameo Ray Shremmerd or Doja Cat or whoever.
Or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who was a writer who wanted to do an interview with Lil Dicky because he had a song called Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in which he switched heads with him, and Kareem felt it was like racial. Like, it was kind
but
of
that's the thing. Like, he didn't. The episode is, like, it's frustrating now listening to the summary of that episode because the episode's framed basically the same way. The whole episode is Lil Dicky being a bitch about, well, I'm white and he's going to ask me questions about race and hip hop and getting worried about it. He goes to meet up with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and ruins the interview because he's so worried about the interview.
Mm-hmm.
And Kareem just wanted to do, like, a quick, like, hey, you used my name as the title for your song. I just wanted to write, like, but then it turns racial and gets ruined because Lil Dicky's being a little bitch about it. And the whole season, they keep doing that,
mm-hmm.
where they're, I guess, trying to make it clear that he's causing all his own problems in life.
Right. It always goes back to, he's always back at zero at the end, basically. It's kind of like he always fucks up his situation to be back at nothing again.
Is there any kind of, like, growth expressed over the course of the show?
No growth. No.
Actively none.
No growth.
On purpose none. He's losing friends, losing girlfriends, and the goal, like, I think what they're trying to do is humanize him and bring him back down to earth so you can say, like, well, you know, he's learning his lessons, and then at the end he gets his album out and everything's fine. But, like, it doesn't feel like that when you're watching it. It just feels like there's no reason for any of these episodes. You can skip any one, and they're just excuses for cameos. And what's frustrating is the first season was fucking great.
It was great.
It was great.
It was great. It wasn't him being a bitch.
Well, and when it was, it served the story. It was it was growth. It was fucking relatable.
Uh-huh.
There were weird episodes, just like that whole episode that was basically all a fucking single song. That was crazy when he went to prison.
Yeah.
But it was fire. There was still a story being told.
Right.
And this season, I was so fucking mad watching it that
it was upsetting. That Doja, I can't watch. I can't watch anymore. I've been past the Doja Cat episode.
Yeah.
I'm upset at him. Like, I was What I turned everything off. Like, I turned everything off. I left the house after that. I didn't plan on doing that. I didn't have anywhere to go. But just I did
walked
after
out
that.
The door mad.
I just left.
Doja Cat.
I was like, why? Why did you do? Why? Oh, you know it's Doja Cat. Who do you think you're fucking texting? I was so upset. That's my review.
Generally speaking, I have a very low tolerance for that kind of like cringe type like plot element.
Yeah.
Like,
I see what you mean. Yeah, it was definitely cringy.
Yeah. Some people find that funny, some people find that enjoyable. I can't stand it.
I'm
fine with it if it's a story. You know, like if something happens from point A to point A, I guess in this case. Like, I'm fine with it.
Just every episode is just him being a bitch. And it's like, you know, Lil Dicky, you don't expect him to be, cool. You know, cool or anything like that. But it's just the complaining and the fucking, he's all sad because he can't get an album out. And it's like, first of all, this is very unrelatable. Like, you're not connecting me to this character. Like, you're actively disconnecting me from him. By him being such a bit, like, such a bitch. Man, so crazy.
I think the show got... I've just seen it repeatedly, man, but I just think it's too much budget. They spent it all on celebrity cameos. And the story got, like, out of hand. Like, they're hiring Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but don't know how to write him in. So they have to, like, find a self-contained way, because they can't afford to have him again next episode.
Right.
It's like, how do we use this character for only one episode? And it can't affect Dickie at all, because he's... kind of got an album to put out over here, but we want to use this cameo. And it just felt like that the whole time. I was real mad. I was real mad. That's why I didn't bring it up when I watched it a couple weeks ago. I was like, nope.
Yeah, Kareem broke his leg kicking a bathroom door that was broken.
Because he's claustrophobic. And the door was broken.
So they couldn't open it. And he was like kicking it, trying to get out. And his old bones, I guess, couldn't handle it. And he fucking broke his leg kicking a door.
And this is like three full-grown men. One of them, a retired NBA athlete, going, the door won't open.
The door like opens. He knows the door opens in, and why are you kicking it?
But regardless, that door would be off its hinges if any normal person was locked in a bathroom. Like, a fucking door. You can take that door right now and elbow through it with no effort.
Rip it off from the door.
Fuck, dude. Come on. It's just very frustrating to watch because it's very obviously fabricated.
Yeah, I can't handle it.
Yeah, it was frustrating because I really liked the last season a lot, and I was hopeful, I was excited, and then this happened. But you know, in other news, do we have other news? I had one other thing that happened locally and recently. Did you guys see, I'm sure you did, the video of the handler being bitten by an alligator in West Valley?
Yes.
Nope.
Oh my God.
Yes, I did.
And that is the story.
She definitely. It seemed like she got a little careless. Maybe she deals with this alligator every day or something, and she like hand by the mouth, just fucking chilling.
So, I would disagree. I think so. Here's the story. There's a video, and it's not that graphic. I'll show you in a second. Story is basically it's a smaller exhibit, glass enclosure, probably about the size of this room we're in now, and there's a pool on one side. The alligator comes in here, I don't know, for shows or if he actually lives here, but either way, the handler woman is inside the enclosure giving a presentation to like a small group of people. And she's talking about the gator and describing facts about it and not really like looking at it as it walks up onto the area it's not supposed to be in yet, the dry land where she's at. So she goes to like coax it back into the pool, which I'm sure she's done fucking thousands of times. Whatever reason, it grabs her hand, her like right hand. It starts moving back into the pool. So being that she knows what to do, she does the exact right thing, follows it into the pool and rolls with it so as to not lose her fucking hand.
Mm-hmm.
And she's so calm and it's like just happening in front of these people.
Right.
It takes everyone just like a solid second before anyone knows what's happening here.
Right.
Finally, a guy like starts like looking like,
oh,
is this supposed to be happening?
The real problem here.
And like slowly kind of walks in and like hesitantly like goes to put his hands on the gator, you know? In much the same way as you shoo turtle, he did to the gator.
Mm-hmm.
Hesitantly like, am I supposed to be doing this? I don't know how to approach this gigantic beast. So she, while being attacked and rolling under the water with this fucking gator, it's shallow water, but guides this guy through, okay, now sit on his back, like guides him to save her. He like jumps on the back of this gator. Now he's wrestling it. He's pushing its head down into the fucking, let her go, you know?
Imagine that story.
And
God damn.
They are basically just trying to wait it out and make it difficult for this gator to roll more so that the gator will get tired and let go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like essentially all you can do because he's clamped.
Yeah, you're not gonna pry them jaws off.
No, not happening.
No.
So they do that. Finally, like, and it's fighting the whole time. It's a pretty big gator. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll find the exact size, but for
seven, 8 feet.
Big. And this guy's just on it, like pushing its head down, trying not to get whipped by the tail and shit. The fucking handler's like guiding him through it. He lets go of the woman. But now the bystander is sitting on the back of this gator with like no, unsure of how to get the fuck out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So she's guiding him while like holding her fucking
bleeding
fucking hand. And she's like, okay, now do this. And finally he like starts to slowly stand up and like pushes the gator and fucking runs out of that thing. And it was just one of those like the aquarium or animal exhibit place.
Mm-hmm.
Made sure to come immediately out on fucking Twitter and say, like, you know, we really appreciate our fine patrons who jumped in there of their own volition and did not have to save our beloved handler. She will be fine. She's returning to the enclosure in 3 weeks' time. And, like, that was that, basically.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, she knew what to do. She did it right. She guided another person to save her. Mm-hmm. Like, she's an MVP here, for sure.
Definitely.
Handled it better than any of us.
I said careless in the beginning just because when you do something so many times,
yeah,
sometimes
for sure,
sometimes you don't think about it, you know? And it just seems like, because, you know, especially in my line of work, that can happen, man. You just fucking, I do this, I repeat this shit thousands and thousands of times, and this is why it crashed, because I just fucking forgot.
His line of work is machinist.
I'm a machinist.
For those people listening. So now animal rights groups are calling for the zoo to close over the gator incident and all this shit. But it was just weird because I saw Snoop Dogg sharing the video.
Snoop Dogg fucking posted it on Instagram.
Happened like right there.
Yeah.
Just weird. Like,
yeah, Snoop got his ear to the ground.
It was Scales and Tails, Utah.
Hmm.
Family-run reptile and bird educational and entertainment company. So, yeah, now I will show the video.
I hope they get more business out of this. I hope they're able to,
In this environment, I just enjoy hearing a story about an expert who, like, does everything correctly and guides a civilian who is willing and able to pay attention and do as you know, as is explained.
That was honestly the
I didn't realize.
I was like, oh,
I didn't realize that guy was a fucking civilian. I thought he worked there too. Holy shit! Just some guy. Fuck. Didn't he have he had on one of those vests with the one of those reflector vests, right?
Just a yellow shirt, I think. Okay.
We just watched the entirety of the video.
The thing I took away from watching the video was how fucking calm that woman is and mm-hmm. how she must be incredible at her job if, even while being attacked, she is, like, so calm that she can guide someone to fucking save her.
Mm-hmm.
And when being asked, are you okay? You okay? She's like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm good.
And in the gator's mouth.
Now you're going to go ahead and just get off the gator. As he's like,
excuse me. Excuse me.
I bet when he went home, I bet he's like, what the fuck did I do that?
Right.
Why did I do that? So
that's how you know he's a true hero.
because he jumped in without thinking.
I shouldn't say I loved because it was, you know, it sucks. She almost lost a hand. But I was fucking laughing when he goes to just pull her and she's like, no, don't do that. I want to keep my hand. Like, please don't do that.
Yeah, I don't. People do weird things under duress, right? Like, you just think to yourself, the hands in, get hand out, get hand out. Pull her, get hand out. Hand out of mouth, get hand out. Right. And like, you know, that's just...
Yeah, her going into the tank, a lot of people probably was like, oh, he drug her in there.
Yeah, yeah, but no, like you watch her, she clearly stepped in there.
And then wrapped around him so he couldn't roll without her.
Right. Yeah, she fucking did the perfect thing.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. And coached him right. That was a shining example of following your training.
Making sure. And also like a perfect example of human shock.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because like, you know, she couldn't feel that, because if she could, she would have gone unconscious almost instantly.
Mm.
Pretty much guaranteed, right? You loot your hand.
Bruh. 3,000 pounds of bite force. We just heard it.
Yeah. Like, bro. Just imagine, you know, you're at work and it's like, oh, this is a 1.5-ton press and it just snaps closed on your hand with 3,000 pounds of force and you have enough energy to climb in after it, wrap your legs around it and say, okay, hey, Frank, do you mind coming over here and just sitting on this thing while it gets tired? I want to get it tired enough to not kill me, please. Can we do that?
Weren't they small talking? Where are you from?
You come here often?
Yeah, where are you from?
What? Nice high-vis yellow shirt.
Are you okay?
It was a lot, man. It was a lot.
Is that your family over there? Don't worry, little Timmy.
Yeah.
And your dad's got it.
She said she's coming back to handle more
in
games.
3 weeks.
I don't know if it was 3 weeks exactly, but it was a couple. It was like a very short amount of time. Mm. Like, that's alarmingly short.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think, a common thing when it comes to stuff like this. And I'm thinking the justification is probably that you are in shock. You are very upset about what happened. And your brain basically is saying, go back. Conquer it. Get over it. Go back. You got to get back to work. And like, not wanting to, okay, I'm never doing that again.
Right.
To your whole life's profession you've spent your whole life doing, you know? Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, I noticed the tiger lady did that, too. When she got fucking lost limbs to a tiger, she was back at work in a couple days or weeks. And it was like, why
the fuck? Yeah.
But I guess if you dedicate your whole life's purpose to this thing, you're probably laying there in the hospital bed like, I'm not losing this.
Or,
I'm going to show you.
Comes with the territory.
Yeah.
Work with tigers, you might lose an arm. And I did, and back to work.
Shit ton of training about how like your limbs are the most delectable treats to these to these animals.
Wow.
And you know,
look, he was not attacking for food. He was just saying hi in alligator.
Holy shit.
Yeah, no, when I saw that video, I was impressed by her fortitude.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Do we have any other stories this week? Is it a slow week?
I think it's a slow week, man. Yeah. I don't really have much else.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it might be a short podcast, but that is a podcast.
It'll be less than an hour because you're gonna have to edit us watching the video at least.
Yep, this is going to be a 30-minute podcast. Thank you for listening to the Downstairs.
Peace.